So in Hebrews 13 and verse 8, we read these wonderful words: Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. So when we think about the immutability of God, this is the verse that immediately comes to mind. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. So what do we mean by the immutability of God? Well, really, it's a theological term that simply means God never changes. God never changes. Our Saviour is the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, this isn't the only place we find this teaching in the Scriptures. For instance, in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, the Lord says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. In the New Testament, in the book of James, James chapter 1 and verse 17, James reminds us that every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. No variableness. He never changes. He's always the same. And so this is a truth that God has revealed concerning himself all through the Scriptures. When the Lord reveals himself to man, one of the things that he's very clear about is that he doesn't change. When the Lord wanted to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt, he called upon Moses to be his spokesman. He met with him at the burning bush, and Moses was reluctant to go. He says, the people won't believe me. Who should I tell them has sent me? And the Lord gives them this wonderful verse in Exodus 3 and verse 14. God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now the Hebrew expression that's translated, I am that I am, gives us our English name for God, Jehovah. And you've probably heard that name used, Jehovah, if you've got an authorized version of the Bible or a King James version of the Bible. When you find the word Lord written in capital letters, that's the Hebrew name for God, Jehovah. Now, what does it mean? Well, it's difficult to put into English, but the general consensus is that the Hebrew name for God, Jehovah, is a compound of the three tenses of the Hebrew verb to be. So that implies the ever-living nature of God. I was, past tense. I am, present tense. I will be, future tense. And the Hebrew name Jehovah is a compound of those three verbs. I was, I am, I will be. Now that's something that the Lord Jesus referred to in the book of Revelation. In chapter 1 and verse 18, the Lord, speaking to the Apostle John, said, I am Alpha and Omega. That's the first and the last, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord. And then listen to this, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. So there you have the three tenses again. Is, present tense, which was, past tense, which is to come, present tense. And so the name Jehovah expresses God's, his self-existence and his eternal and his unchanging nature. He is the one who has always been. He is without beginning and without end. He's the one who is ever present. He is. He's the one who ever will be. So he's the unchanging God, the immutable God. Now, it's easy to define, but it's difficult for us to understand. And our difficulty with immutability is, well, because of our own experience, everything around us is in a constant state of change. There's nothing that we can point to that is immutable. Everything's changing. Our society's changing. Its morals is changing. Its outlook is changing. Compare society today with society 30 years ago and you'll see all kinds of change. Society changes. Fashions change. The style of clothes that people wear today is different than what they were wearing last year. We'll have a new season's fashion, for every changing season, autumn season, spring season, summer season fashion, all changes. What about changes in technology? Think of the advances that have been made in technology over the last 50 years. I'm old enough to remember listening to music in a car on an 8-track recorder that was replaced with tapes, then CDs, then MP3s. Now today people simply stream their music over the internet. Technology changes. Our bodies change. We get older. We get frail. We lose our hair. Whatever hair we have goes grey. Our bodies change. Our moods change from day to day, from moment to moment. Everything's changing. You're all aware that I went back to the UK at the start of March. I was supposed to be, well, I was actually still supposed to be there. I had to come back early because of the lockdown. But I was only away for 3 weeks when I came back to Tasmania. And everything had changed. Everything had changed. Everything was in lockdown. The shops were closing. Sometimes change is for the better, and we get excited about that. Sometimes change can be for the worse, and we can hardly cope with that. But the point is, there's nothing in our life that is immutable. Everything that we know changes. So it's good to know that in this ever-changing world, there is one who never changes. God doesn't change. He is immutable. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. And I want to show you why I think that's a comforting truth for us, why God can't change. It's impossible for him to change. His very nature makes it impossible for him to change. Arthur Pink, in his book on the sovereignty of God, writes this. He says, God cannot change for the better, for he is already perfect. And being perfect, he cannot change for the worse. So when we think logically about the nature of God and the nature of change, change is always either for the better or for the worse. That's the nature of change. Things either get better or they get worse. Now, when we apply that to the nature of God, we can say that God can't change for the better because he's already perfect. And we have a number of scriptures that can show that about God's nature. His works are perfect. He is the rock. His work is perfect. He is perfect in his ways. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 31. As for God, his way is perfect. In Psalm 19 and verse 7, we read the law of the Lord is perfect. In Matthew 5 and verse 48, the Lord Jesus says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So God being perfect cannot change for the better. And so he can't be better than what he already is presently. And being perfect means he cannot change for the worse. Because if God is not perfect, then he doesn't know all things. He isn't all-powerful. He'd be prone to making mistakes. His prophecies would be simply the best guess that he could make. And he would lack the power even to bring those things about. But as we've seen already, that is not the God of the Bible. He is a perfect God. His ways are perfect. His word is perfect. His law is perfect. He is perfect. The point is, you and I, well, we can either do better than what we're doing now or we can do worse than what we're doing now. But that's not possible with God. And here's where it gets comforting, that everything about God is unchanging. Nothing about him will ever change. He has the same perfect power today that he has always had. He hasn't grown weak. He hasn't got old. This idea in the minds of some that God is like some old grandfather up in heaven on his rocking chair looking down upon us. That's not God. His power today is the same power that created the universe. He is the same perfect wisdom today as what he has always had. His holiness is the same. His justice is the same. His patience and his mercy is the same. He is unchanging. And we find this all through the Word of God in Jeremiah 31, verse 3. God says, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." It's a love that lasts forever. It never changes. His word in Isaiah 40 and verse 8 is unchanging. "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." His mercy is everlasting. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So can you see why this is an extremely comforting thought? The immutability of God, his truth doesn't change. That means the Bible that we read today is as true today as the day when it was first written. God's purposes never change. So when he records his will for us in the Word of God, that will is ever the same. It doesn't change. That means his promises never change. So we hold to the same promises today as what the saints in the Old and the New Testaments held to. His power that makes those promises possible never weakens or diminishes. His love for us never changes. We could go on and on. The attributes of God do not change. So I want to think just for a moment or two what the immutability of God means for us. And I've got three headings that I want to think of it under. I want to think about the immutability of God in terms of society, and then to think of the immutability of God and the unbeliever, and then finally the immutability of God and the Christian. So when we think about the immutability of God, the unchanging God in terms of our society, we look around and we see that we're living in an age that has removed absolutes from society, black and white truths. An absolute truth is something that's always true for everybody, in every place and at every time. We're, as a society, removing absolutes. Everything has been filtered through the thought of relativism. In other words, what's true for me might not be true for you. And what's right for me might not be right for you. And that's largely the attitude that our society is moving towards. And for anyone to claim to know the truth, well, that's considered to be arrogant because, well, what's true for you might be not true for me. My idea of truth might be different than your idea of truth. My idea of what is morally right and wrong will be different than someone else's idea of what's morally right or wrong. And the pressure that's been put upon us is, well, to be tolerant of everything. Tolerance is seen as the chief virtue today. Now, for those of us that have been around for a while and have seen just how much society has changed, even with regards to what's morally acceptable today, society is ever-changing, and many of the things that were unacceptable 30 years ago or 40 years ago are considered to be acceptable today. I remember a time when I was growing up when hearing someone swear in public was almost unheard of. It was considered impolite to swear in public, but today it's so commonplace. When you think of the television programs that air every day, the things that are portrayed on our television screens just wouldn't have been seen a generation ago. People now boast about their sinful activities, and society watches on and applauds. Nobody's ashamed anymore. There's no moral outrage anymore. We've almost forgotten how to blush in society. And lo, betide the Christian who stands forward and says, well, the Bible says, and society answers back, what? That old book? Times have changed. You need to get with the times. And while the morality of the Bible and that kind of thinking may have been appropriate years ago, you can't expect people to live like that in a modern society. And the problem with that kind of thinking in society is that it has filtered into the church. We hear at times these kinds of statements from professing Christians. Oh, I know what the Bible says, but I have to lie and cheat at work in order to get ahead, in order to get my business done. Everyone's doing it. I know what the Bible says about sex before marriage, but times have changed. That's relativism. There are no black and whites, no right and wrong, no absolutes. But when we come to an immutable God, we realize then that it's not our environment that determines what's right or wrong, or our society. It's God that must declare what's right or wrong. And this book that was written, thousands of years ago, wasn't just written to fishermen and farmers and doesn't have anything to say to the businessman or the teenager today. Times may have changed, but God hasn't changed. And because God hasn't changed, it means his truth hasn't changed. There is such a thing as absolute truth. There is an absolute morality that's been given to us by the Lord. And if God is unchanging, and he is, then what he said was right 2,000 years ago is still right today. And what he said was wrong 2,000 years ago is still wrong today. He is immutable. He hasn't changed his mind on any of these issues. Society may have changed. We may have changed. But God hasn't changed. And the God who said, thou shalt not steal, well, if it was wrong to steal then it's still wrong to steal. The God who said that thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not lie, then it's still wrong to lie, and it will always be wrong. The God who said thou shalt not commit adultery, that it's wrong for us to have sexual relations outside of marriage, it was wrong then, it's still wrong today. And it doesn't matter what Hollywood says or what the record industry says, or what society says, or what our neighbours say. It doesn't even matter what other Christians say. What has God said? And if God has said this is right and that's wrong, then those things are unchanging. And while everything around us changes, God hasn't changed. His truth hasn't changed. And the point is, that's a wonderful thing for us. Because in these days of flux and change, where everything around us is shifting and moving, and the goalposts change from one day to the next, we have something solid. We have truth from God that is unchanging. We have absolutes that are as true today as they ever were, because they come from a God who never changes. So the immutability of God, the unchanging nature of God, has something for society. There's also something to say to those that are outside of Christ, those that are unbelieving, those that have never put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's unchanging truth has something to say to the unbeliever in regard to sin. Now, sin isn't a word that you hear very much anymore. It's not something that's talked about. We're almost afraid of offending someone by saying that that's sinful. But really, people need to be reminded about God's attitude towards sin, because his attitude hasn't changed. And regardless of how lightly society thinks about sin today, whether they laugh at sin, God takes it very seriously. The God who said, the soul that sins shall die, still says that. He is still holy, and he is still just, and he still hates sin, and he will still judge it to the full extent of his power. God's unchanging truth still speaks out against sin. And God's unchanging nature still has something to teach us with regards to the destiny of those who remain in their sins. Because there's another word that's not used very often today. Hell. Hell, that's a word you don't hear very much about today. It's not very PC. We have pastors today that are throwing out the thought of hell. They claim it's not relevant to the way society thinks. That their congregations want to hear only things that are positive and happy. Society is changing the pulpit today. But if ever there was a subject that's relevant for us, it's certainly the warning against sin and the warning as to where sin leads us to the judgment of God. Man may not believe in hell any longer. Pastors may not preach it from their pulpits, but God believes it. God's truth about hell is still the same as it has always been. Hell hasn't disappeared simply because society feels it's inappropriate to talk about it. Hell is still the eternal destiny of all those who love their sin and reject the Saviour. The immutability of God teaches us that. But it's also something else to say to the unbeliever. God's unchanging truth is still applicable to the unbeliever today in regards not only to sin and to hell, but to salvation, to hope. Since God is unchanging, his way of salvation is unchanging. And the God who said that there is salvation available through the Lord Jesus Christ and only him still says that today. There is hope to be found in Jesus Christ and him alone. That's God's unchanging truth. And yes, I know that goes against the thoughts of society where every form of religion and every sect and cult is just another way of approaching God. That's not what God says. His unchanging truth states very clearly that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one name that God has given to us that is beneficial for us with regards to salvation, and that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only Saviour that God will accept. Our Saviour said in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no other way to God except through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's either true or it's not. If it's true, then every other form of religion, every other form of belief that disagrees with that thought is wrong. But there's good news here. We have hope. The way to God has been made known to us. There is a way for us to be rescued from our guilt and our sin. And the God who said, he who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever believeth in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The God who said those things still means it today. He is unchanging. His arms are still open wide for all who will come to him. He will still save all who call upon him. And so I can say in the gospel of Jesus Christ today, to all that are listening to this message, if you believe on the Son of God, you will be saved. That is truth unchanging. So the immutability of God, the unchanging nature of God, has something to say to society. It has something to say to the unbeliever. It has also something to say to the Christian. Because the immutability of God brings us so much comfort. It teaches us the stability of God. If God was fickle and changing, then his purpose might be one thing today and something else tomorrow. God might feel one way today and then change how he feels tomorrow. And we would never know where we stood with him. We would be asking the question, does he still love me? Is he perhaps mad at me? We would always be guessing as to what God's will would be like today. We would come to our Bibles and say, well, I know what the Bible says, but does God still mean this today? We would have no stability. But we come to a God who is unchanging, so we know where we stand. We don't have to guess as to how he feels. We know what he means and what he says. That means his promises are certain. His promises are unchanging. We can look at our lives and see everything is changing. Everything is in upheaval. And then we turn to the promises of God and realize that his promises are ever true. He hasn't changed his promises. They are as true today as what they were when they were first written. His promises are ever true. That means the God who could meet our needs 2,000 years ago upon a cross is still concerned about our needs today. The God who put his promises in the Bible for us to read says to us, they're still for you today. The promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. That means when we think about prayer, we have confidence. If God was constantly changing, how could we ever have confidence in prayer? We'd be filled with doubt and with questions. Will God hear me today? Will he be understanding of my needs? What if he's tired of me coming to him with the same problems? What if he's grown sick of me? All of our confidence would be removed, but when we understand the immutability of God, that means his mood and his affections never change toward us. He's always ready to hear our praises and our prayers. He's never moody or tired of meeting with us, wishing that we just leave him alone. Really, another problem? Don't you realize I've got a universe to run here? Why don't you just give me some space and stop being so needy? That's not God. He encourages us to come and to seek and to knock and to ask. He commands us to come boldly to the throne of grace to make our wants and our petitions known. And we don't have to worry about bothering him. Instead, he tells us to pray without ceasing, to pray continuously, because he is always listening, and he is always ready, and he is always able, and he loves for his people to come before him in prayer. He loves to answer prayer. He always has. He still does. He always will. He is unchanging. His power is undiminished. The God who did mighty things in the past for his people in order to accomplish his purposes is still able today. The God who opened up the Red Sea for Moses is still the same God today. The God who raised Lazarus from the dead is still the same God today. The God who was able to deliver Daniel from the lion's den still moves in power for his people today. The same God who turned the whole world upside down through a handful of his disciples in the first century can still do the same today through you and me. The immutability of God gives us a reason to expect great things from God. The God who is moved in power to accomplish his purposes and has recorded that for our encouragement in the Bible hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. That means the grounds of our assurance rest in an immutable God. The God who set his love upon me before the foundation of the earth will never stop loving. The God who has chosen me from eternity past will not change his mind when I fail. He knew all about my failures when he chose me. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. The God who said he is preparing a place in heaven for me will never take back that promise. The love that chose us in salvation has not decreased one bit since that choice was made. He has never regretted that choice. He is unchanging in his choices. God has never been tempted to change his mind about us. There's our great assurance, the unchanging nature of God. What comfort then that brings to our life, what security that gives to us as Christians. We know what's right and wrong when God reveals it to us in the scriptures. We know it was right and wrong then, it's right and wrong today, it'll be right and wrong tomorrow, it'll be right and wrong 10 years from now. His is a truth I can trust, I can build my life upon. His is truth that works. He is not a God of whim or fancy, up and down, in and out, wanting to be with me today but needing space tomorrow, wanting to take care of me today but tomorrow I'm a burden, giving me a promise today but breaking it tomorrow. We have the security of a God that never changes. We have a love and an acceptance that is ever constant. We have a God that we can always run to, always depend upon. He is that God. And like all of the other attributes of God, this attribute of his unchanging nature, his immutability, that should affect how we worship God, how we react to him. See, the truth of the matter is that we have changed 10,000 times and more towards God. One day we're hot, next day we're cold. One day we want to be close to God, the next day we're running from him like Jonah. We're ever changing towards God, but he has never changed once towards us. His love has always been constant. His promises have ever been sure. His truth is unchanging. He loves us the same today as the day as he first chose us. He loves you as much today as the day that he first saved you. And even though we have faltered and failed and made many mistakes, God has never changed. What a God we serve. This should cause us to worship and to adore him and to praise him for the comfort and the security of his unchanging nature. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. May we learn to praise God for his immutability, his unchanging nature. May it be another aspect of our Saviour in which to glory in today. And so even now we bring this message to an end. I hope that you'll go away and you'll think about the immutability of God, that you will praise him for it, and that you'll find every aspect of God's nature, every characteristic, every attribute is worthy of continued praise. And so we leave you with that and trust that God will bless these thoughts to your hearts today. Let's bow and close in prayer. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, again we thank and praise thee for the unchanging nature of God, that guarantee of a constant love, of constant care, of the promises of God that are ever sure, for truth that leads and guides and will never put us astray. We ask our Father that we might be more constant in our love towards thee, more constant in our service, more constant in our praying and in our praise. We ask that more of the nature of Christ would be seen in us, and that rather than fluctuating up and down, hot and cold, with regards to our love for God, oh, that we would be moving ever closer towards thee. And so we pray that even now that we might be reminded of the immutability of our God, that it would rejoice our hearts, and may it give thee praise. These things we ask and pray in the Saviour's worthy and precious name. Amen.